Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Okay, podcast while driving, I'm going to do the quantum physicist's view of teleportation. So, this is going from beam me up, Scotty, to... We can't do that to quantum communication. Oh, no, we really can't do that either. Now, let's just look at the idea of beam me up, Scotty. Now, let's just start with the equation E equals mc squared. So, given that the Hiroshima, I think only most converted a few grams of matter into energy. So, to actually get something from point A to point B, you have to actually transport the energy from the two points, and then you have to then reassemble it. But forget the reassembling, let's just look at the energy transport. And so, a 100 kilogram male, which, you know, we say, or part of the drama means that you have to be beamed up or beamed across. And given that also little things like there may be slight differences in pressure, so you might say if you were beamed up to something of very much higher pressure or lower pressure, you'd either be crushed or expanded. But however, the amount of energy involved is astronomical. It's just, it's 10 to the 3 or 9 by 10 to the 16 joules per kilogram. That's a lot. That's 10 to the 16, that's right, 10 to the 17 joules. So that's a 1,000 trillion joules of energy. So, you know, like, that's more than the Earth's total power consumption, easily, to put it there. So that's just an amazing amount of energy. So it's not practically possible. And then you've also got the problem of the entropy. So if you convert something to energy, you've got to have it done in such a way that the entropy, you don't lose the entropy going across as you go through transitions. And then, of course, at the end of it, I suppose, you want everyone to have their memory. Yeah, it's such that you've got the exact memory of what's going on. So the idea of teleporting a mass is just, you know, impossible. Now, the it is possible to get through objects which are quantum mechanically the same and send equivalent of what we believe the same thing to two different locations, but it's just that object. So we can actually say I could produce a dime, right? Two dimes which were quantum mechanically the same, indistinguishable. I could send them to two locations, and they would be entangled. Their destinies would be entangled. However, they are only entangled in so much as that two other dimes aren't, well, could measure them and have unusual results and look across at that. And that would be really, and this because I'm coming home really quickly. Now, we'll look at the quantum entangled particles and that, you know, they can't move, but I can move the information. Well, no, not really. you just have a restriction on the amount of information coming up, and you can only see that restriction if you actually send some confirmation system by direct route. So I can't communicate faster than the speed of light. I can't cause anything to happen faster than the speed of light, but I can work out something to do with the history outside. So there is this very sort of all the no, there's just this whisper thin idea that I can tell if someone else has looked at something, because I can't extract, there's a limited amount of information. So if someone's come and extracted information, I can't extract even more information. There's a limit to it. And that's Bell's paradox. But we are dealing with genuinely random things. Because if it's not generally random, there is nothing to measure. If it's not a genuinely random thing, I can't measure it. And I can't have certainty measuring a random thing. I can measure something random and I can note that it's not as random as it should be. It is random, but its randomness is skew-whiff. And the fact that it's skew-whiff, it can help me pick it up only if I have the information of what someone else measured it. And so, there's a sort of tree down there. That's, thank you very much for going out. Yeah, so my point as a quantum physicist is that people are saying, oh, well, what you do is you get a photon from a laser beam. And I can't randomize the polarization. The only way I can randomize the polarization of a photon is have a randomizer. Okay? So you can have some sort of randomizer which randomizes the thing. So you can measure that randomizer, light coming from that randomizer, and you will, over time, say that it produces equally, unpredictably, as many up and down, across, and polarizations from that light. So in general, if you've got a piece of light, the random thing you can do is have, you can have a spread of energies, a spread of time, or a spread of polarization. A spread of polarization is sort of pretty much the cleanest thing to do. You can send that into a crystal, produce two of them, and you will produce two identical ones because they have to have the same polarizations, the same electric field to add up in a non-linear way or to subtract. Now, the interesting thing is that you can actually do this several times through several crystals and produce so from a UV photon produce eight IR photons. And those eight IR photons would be entangled. That's where it gets really interesting. I find it. I think that's the way for through. So a lot of the things that you want to do theatrically, we can't do. The communication, I really just think, get over yourself. You know, the human race would be a lot better off with no secrets. Why does, after all this evolution, do I have something that I just want to keep secret from other people? So I have some information and I want to keep that secret from someone else. I don't know, it's infallible. I think the contradiction for me is that there's no comprehensibility of humans anyway, so that's sort of, it's like wanting to keep something secret is the fact that you're a bit stuffed in the head anyway. Truly, in terms of justice, is transparency and you know, this quantum. However, just to finish it off, there is this crack that I can tell if my information, someone else has observed that information, and that's the only thing. It means that there's a limited amount of information, new information I can get out. Now, the bottom line is that I can not produce one entangled photon. I can produce eight or seven or whatever it is. It's because those photons, if you time reverse, it has to go back into the crystal. All the polarizations have to randomly align, and it has to go back. So this is one of the things I'd be very interested to see whether you could do something with a phase conjugate mirror, which sort of time reverses a photon. For me, that would be the most fascinating experiments to get done. So you can actually get a mirror which time reverses the light going into it. So that mirror, when it so essentially you've got to Oh, so if you got a crystal and you produce a photon out of it, if you just reflect it, you won't time reverse it. You've got to time reverse it. So it's a time reverse signal goes back to the crystal and it will recreate it. However, one of the things I think would be interesting is that you could do something quite sexy with it there. Now, the other thing is that people say, oh, look, you have to travel these big distances. No, you don't. You can just have your entangled states trapped in an optical fibre, so to speak, a photon in a fibre. I find this hard to get it around my head, but you could have it trapped between mirrors in a state for weeks on either end. So say you could have perfectly reflective mirrors, you could have it weeks on either end, or you could just have it, you know, one light. You can time delay it. And the thing is that what's amazing is that you can... so there's no importance that you have to be at the same instant in some sort of absolute time frame and measure it at the same time and get it across. That doesn't make sense. There is actually no time frame. So there's no... I can't communicate faster than the speed of light and defy the laws of time. You know, there is some sort of time, so a certain fixed number of hours from the creation of it to measure. I suppose you have to do it. So it's a fixed number of hours from the creation. Now, the great thing about the polarization is that polarization will stick with that photon forever, ever going through it. So you've got this thing that you can actually store your photons and measure them as the amount of time since the creation, but you don't necessarily have to be a distance the same time distance away from each other. You can have your ones and it's going around the lab several times, and then you can have it bouncing in mirrors in your lab and the other one going a long distance away. And as long as you measure the same entangled photon, so it's the way to go. Now, the point is that you can measure it as it's bouncing back and forth. You can measure it at the start or the beginning of the journey. There's no way that the person at the other end can tell at what point in time you did your measurement. Okay, as long as it's the same photon, they don't know the time. The time no longer matters. So look, I find that there's a whole series of things that be worth thinking about. A whole series of things that this is poorly explained and misguides people. The idea that I could like an angel reappear. So St. Thomas Aquinas had angel time, that an angel could exist at another point, say at home and in the shopping mall, they could go within a fraction of a second at any time and defy an angel time. And what's happening is that people have this deep belief in angelic time, deep belief in angels, and this is where quantum teleportation has really struck a chord with people's imagination. They think, oh, perhaps angels could exist. But when you actually unpack it, you get this very banal idea that I can send a message to you and you can read it, and you can't decode the message. You can only decode it when I send you an email of what you were trying to say anyway, and I can check that the message that I did receive decoded actually makes sense. And if the quality is crap, I know that someone else has got that message. So, but the entire thing is, how do you actually send your original message to that person in a secure way? It's very hard to see. There's and the idea is that you can't break out of time. You can't defy the laws of time. The idea that the quantum cryptography, you can actually at any point in time measure the the clock, the light time since the time of creation, and the point at which it's someone's attempted to eavesdrop. What I really don't quite understand is what, how you could eavesdrop onto a quantum signal anyway to make sense of what it's saying. So there's so many contradictions to it. However, there are these new areas of, if rather than producing one entangled photon, you produce hundreds of entangled photons and send them every which way, and you've got to figure out how it operates such that people cannot get more information than is available in the actual packet or pixel size of information for that photon. So in terms of a photon, it can you can know its linear polarization, but not its circular polarization. Okay, that's a fundamental aspect of it. But it doesn't say that you will not measure. Put on a circular polarizer and check the amount of light through it, you're going to detect certain points on the Poincaré sphere that it could be. Or I suppose circles. You can only measure a circle of the Poincaré sphere. I suppose the interesting thing for me is that once you get hundreds of these entangled photons, you still can't break the fundamental pixel size of space. Now, the problem is that if you could, the Earth would shrink to a black hole because it's interesting. So I'll keep on thinking about it, but there's for sure people's way of explanation is slack, and it's enough to allow someone who's got flaky understanding to say, well, I read it in a New Scientist, a scientist said this, but we've got a responsibility to try and explain it properly. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.